Hey, I'm Simon Wanjin, and you guys are listening to The Center Ring.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello. Hello, and welcome back to another edition of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. Episode 129 coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The date, January 21st, 2019. The time, 8:33 p.m. Central Standard Time. This might be the best episode ever. We have esports coming back to us. Real esports finally came back this weekend as we will discuss the iBuyPower Masters for CSGO. Have a little discussion of if you are an esports organization wanting to get into esports today, what might be the best game? And of course, we have some e-news to tie a bow on it. But before we do any of that, let's introduce the crew. Hello, my name is Tim. I will be one of your hosts for this journey into esports. We got the full crew back today. First time in, 2 weeks? We got Anuj. Hello, Anuj.
What's up, fellas? This is a good episode, man. I'm excited. Like, esports really is back. This hiatus felt so long.
We went
this
like
time.
A month or so with just nothing. Nothing. So and we got Brett.
Really good one.
Brett's internet is cooperating for now.
Yeah, for now. So if I drop, you can all tweet Spectrum and tell them to get their act together. But I'm here.
You're like, do you know what's happening to TCR?
Do you understand? I even used the podcast when I was talking to him. I'm like, hey,
I'm
missing episodes.
Right? You don't understand. The people that are upset. The people this is affecting.
Can you imagine how many times they've heard that excuse of,
yeah, probably. Like,
oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. They don't care.
Yeah, I do it every time, too, right?
They don't care. Podcast, I need my internet for work. I need my internet for work. Yeah, you and you and everyone else, buddy. You and everyone else. But I feel like we do, because there are a lot of people depending on us for their esports news, and for better or for worse, we appreciate that. Check us out on Twitter, @TheCenterRing. Our website, tcr.gg, that will have links to all of our fun stuff. Discord, Instagram, YouTube, which I have to update. I'm sorry. I just, you know, it is what it is. I have to update it. But I don't think that many people care because no one's asked. So
you did send a poorly worded tweet saying you would update it.
Yeah, but I could delete it and claim it never happened. So that's the power of no one listening. no one can hold you accountable if no one hears it. So, you know, that's all that fun stuff there. But let's get into today's episode, because like I said, esports is back. We finally have Counter-Strike making a return, kicking off the 2019 year with tournaments that matter, right? There's maybe been some play here and there and little tournaments here and there, but the big boys came out for this weekend as the iBuyPower Masters in Hollywood kicked off at the Avalon Hollywood in Los Angeles. Very cool venue. I love it when, like, E-League had their major at the Fox Theater in Atlanta, right? I love it when esports can maneuver their way into classic-looking buildings. It just, the contrast of, like, video games in an old-ass theater, man, is pretty dope. I do enjoy it. Sadly,
I agree, man. This one was a cool venue. Like, I enjoyed the venue.
I do enjoy it. Kind of like the 1 year, I think it was like the Swedish league or some hockey league did an outdoors game in the Roman Coliseum.
Seriously?
Yes, that contrast is awesome. And I wish esports took advantage of the fact that they could pretty much play anywhere where there was an outlet, right?
Yeah.
If there's an outlet and internet connection, you could probably get a tournament going. But that doesn't mean it's going to be without its, you know, bumps in the road. And iBuyPower has learned that. So before we get into any of the action, we do have to just discuss the absolute and I don't think there's really any other way of putting it, disaster that day one was for iBuyPower Masters. You had, it was the perfect storm of everything that people, that anything that could go wrong at an esports event went wrong for them. You had tech delays. You had viewership, right? Like in, what's it, what am I talking about? Like in stadium viewership. Like in, what's the word for that? Yeah. Attendance. There you go. Attendance. That's the word. For people actually attending the event had issues. And I don't even know where you guys want to start. I know we kind of talked in the pre-show meeting about, because there's two sides to the story. First off, right off the bat, Jason Lake, owner of Team Complexity, tweets out a picture saying, that angle where the players play and that big screen behind them, is it seems a little off. And if you look, I'll tweet it out on our Twitter, at the Center Ring. But it's bad. It was bad. That first day, which is why, and I don't know if people knew this, at the venue, and this is at every esports event, the main screen is behind the players, right? That's where the stadium sees the game, on the big screen behind the players. Well, day one for iBuyPower had that turned off pretty much. It was just like the normal sponsor screen, and people had to watch the tournament, if you were there, on the tiny ass TVs set up on stage.
Two 50-inch monitors, TVs set up 50, on stage.
50 inches.
50-inch monitors. Set up on stage.
The TV in my living room is bigger than that. It. Not to brag, but you know.
It almost makes you wonder if the person that put that together had just never even done this type of thing before, right? Because even the players, I think it was NAF, came out and said, just consult us. Come up to us and we will help you out. Just
there's enough players sitting around not doing anything. It doesn't even have to be like, it doesn't even have to be NAF, who's on the number two team in the world, right? Go ask any bare ass player who's in LA. There's enough of them living out there to say, hey, can you just be like our little professional player? You know, here's $1,000. Can you just be kind of our consultant to make
call
sure?
Call TCR. We'll help you out.
For way less than $1,000.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, way less.
Yeah, I mean, all you had to do is walk in the venue, look, and like just
be like, yo, whoever is sitting on like the most outer two stations can just look over and see the giant ass screen behind them. Like, it to minimum effort could they see it. So that, I think, is what started the big delays for day one, is because, like I said, it wasn't even, the venue wasn't even open at the time when Jason tweeted that out. And I think it quickly, word got around saying, you got to change this. You cannot play with that screen there. The players can see everything.
So why is the IGL sitting at the end of every row?
Yeah, I know, right? Do you think they're like we're like it's the honor system or something? Like, hey guys, we're just
dude,
counting
even
on you.
With
not
the
to,
honor system, right? It's like, it would be like playing split screen. Like, yeah, I'm not purposely looking at your screen, but the eyes wander. You know, like
it's like a shootout in FIFA with your buddy, man. Even if you're telling me you're not gonna look which way I'm diving or shooting, I'm gonna hide my controller either way. You know? So with those guys, that's a gaffe that really can't happen in a tournament of this size, right? This is not the old IBP tournaments that we're used to seeing in a smaller venue. You know, being more just local to NA. They had the number one team in the world there. They had the number two team in the world there. Number four. I mean, the list goes on. They had a massive tournament on their hands and an opportunity to showcase themselves, and day one turned out to be a disaster. I think with that being said, they also turned it around and had a really good day two overall.
Yeah, and which is why if you watched it, the the stage was different. Okay, so they've obviously overnight said they basically inverted the stage on how it was set up, so the players couldn't see the screen behind them. They also had a curtain in between the players to help not see things around them. It did create kind of a messy environment. I know, Brett, you were saying like there were just wires everywhere.
Yeah, like exposed wires everywhere.
But I think that was because like obviously you had to change everything overnight, you know, and make sure it was all working and everything. You saw a lot of games were played off stream. I believe, wasn't it Liquid and Astralis was shown off screen at one point?
It threw my whole timing off for the first day, so I missed a decent amount of the first day knowing when games were coming on.
But that's the thing, right? Even if you were watching it, like I was watching it, and then they were like, oh, man, Liquid and FaZe, and I'm like, wait, it was FaZe and Ghost. FaZe and Ghost was played off stream. There were a lot.
Ghost won.
Yes, and Ghost won, and like everyone's freaking out on Twitter, like, "Oh my god, I can't believe Ghost beat FaZe." And I was like, "Did I miss something? Like, what happened?
What just happened?
Like, is there like a second stream somewhere?" And then they're like, "Sorry, this had to been played off stream due to time constraints and blah blah blah."
Are you sure it wasn't on Facebook?
Oh, no.
So it's just it was a rough start. Now, I will say this. I have been to a lot of events that had tech delays, hours long tech delays. I don't want to brag, but me and Anuj have played in a tournament with tech delays. Worse than this.
Oh my God.
I kid you not.
I got to look at the rage.
Have you ever played four rounds into a tournament only to be told we have to restart the tournament? Because we have.
Four rounds, as in not like in-game rounds, like four matches, full-blown games, advancing to restart.
Only to restart the tournament? Because we have. And in those tournaments and in those events as a spectator, nothing was said about compensation, right? Nothing. They pretty much said, it happens, right? You knew what could happen. And good on iBuyPower for quickly coming out saying that for day one attendees, you're going to get a refund. Now, I don't know if that meant only if you had a weekend pass, how does that work? I'm assuming they just refunded every credit card that bought a ticket. Just a flat, hey, we did the math. This is what a one-day pass is. Here's your money back, right? And good on them for doing that and getting out in front of it. And once they did that, honestly, I think all my jokes and memes and how I was going to come on the show saying, how the hell could you let this happen? You know, this is a moron company, kind of went out the window because it made me realize that they knew how bad it was.
Oh, yeah. Definitely for the mature majority, it was like, okay, you have to find Twitch chat is another very dark and
different place. Chat. There's no reason.
But I was just curious, just looking. I'm like, oh, you three rounds into the finals, you said I forgot about that. Okay, all right, move on. But I mean, I same here. Like, I wasn't even thinking about that watching the finals. You know, that was just an afterthought at the end of the day.
You know, thankfully, as bad as the delays and the tournament, and even the pros were voicing their opinion and everything like that, there were a lot of good matches. I do want to bring this up before we move on to the matches. And I'm trying to tread lightly on this because I know the repercussions if, God forbid, I insult one of the old guard here. But Sir Scoots tweeted out saying that he hopes one day that the players can just walk out of these types of tournaments and just pretty much walk away from it, right? And I kind of had issues with that tweet. Only because Sir Scoots is in charge of the players' union for CSGO. And we're constantly seeing that, oh, I met with so-and-so at the major, or I'm flying out to Europe to meet with so-and-so and talk about the players' union and this and that. And I want to know, and this could just be in my, this is a disclaimer, maybe he's tweeted it out and I just didn't read it. Maybe he's talked about it in an interview and I haven't heard it.
Yeah, we're not experts on the players' union, obviously.
By no means. But with his tweet with that made me think of the players' union, and I want to kind of know, well, what would the players' union make? How would have the players' union made this event any different, right?
That's an interesting question, right? To like know now that there is one in play, and they've been working on it for a long time. I don't know if it's officially been out there or not, but what would they have done to prevent this situation? Is that something that the players' union would even have been involved in to begin with, right? Or is that just kind of like a stay in your lane kind of thing when it comes to tournament organizers versus the players union? But I would be really curious to know that. That'd be a great question. Is,
you know, talking about the player's consultant, right? Like, why don't you consult to a player prior to a tournament? Maybe that's part of it. Hey, if you are a players union sanctioned tournament, one of our guys has to go out there to, yeah. And I'll bring this up too. So I have a friend who does this for FIFA, like the soccer federation, right? Where he works at World Cup events. He works at international events. He travels the world doing this. He is the game marshal. I don't know what his official title is, but he travels to the stadiums and days and weeks before the events, he'll constantly do inspections. He'll look at the field. He'll look at the facilities, like the bathrooms, making sure they're up to code. And he basically goes through a huge checklist saying, okay, this meets FIFA standards, right?
Well,
This meets our standards. You can go on with your event.
Well, yeah, I need to talk to him because obviously he did not go out to Trinidad and Tobago for USA's.
Well, he doesn't
USA's,
go to all of them.
Like,
but, yeah, he doesn't go to all.
I'm just kidding. But you know, I'm with you. I mean, there have been player safety issues even in the NFL where there's a field that's just like, you know, terrible, like terrible conditions. You know, someone's going to get hurt on this. We can't play on this. We got to delay this. Mm-hmm. I mean, same thing with a venue. You know, if a player can see over their shoulder and say, hey, you know, I can see that's going to affect our gameplay, Then, you know, maybe more to your point, Tim, maybe there should be like, maybe every team should have an appointed player that goes out and just checks out the venue prior to the match.
Actually, I mean, I think if it's just like someone with the players union, right? Yeah. Just goes and, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize like, hey, I can see that thing or this light. If you have this light looking here, it's going to be shining right into those spectators' view the whole time. You know, how many
tournament were we at? It was the ESL Pro League finals.
Yeah.
Wasn't it where the bomb kept going off? And it was like the bright light kept shining
in
our
face. It was ECS. At the Arlington Stadium.
Oh my gosh, every time.
The lights
were those are basic things you think if you had somebody on site testing some of this, like it feels like it shouldn't be a problem, right?
And so that's what my, like I said, this isn't like putting Sir Scoots on the spot, but I do think if you're going to sit here and say, well, I hope one day the players can walk out of this, inferring that the players union would just walk out of this. Well, what are you going to do though? Like how though? Like you, because that's not a realistic solution either, right? Just showing up to tournaments and then being like, I don't like this. Bye.
Done.
I can do this now because I have a union. Like there's got to be something involved here. And yeah, I just feel like it's been out there for like over a year now that there's this players union in the work. And I would just like to have a little bit more information on it.
Part of me hopes that it was just reactionary, just something he kind of tweeted out as a reaction and he doesn't really actually believe it because, I mean, we've talked to owners before. Counter-Strike is a very expensive esport to get into anyways, and if players just walk out of a venue without any chance of having a winning or anything like that, I mean, that would have a trickle-down effect to, like, ownership and what have you. So part of me thinks that it was just kind of a reactionary thing. He doesn't actually believe it, I hope.
Right.
Yeah.
We'll see. That's all, right? I didn't think that was like me. I don't want to offend anyone. I don't want to.
How am I going to word this? It's a little absurd. Like the statement. That statement. I mean, his intentions are great, but that statement was, you can't really do that.
I just want to see a little bit really from it. At this point, it's just more so curiosity of what's going on with it. But let's get into the action here, because there were a lot, and you know, of solid teams. As Anuj stated earlier, there like three of the top five teams were at this tournament. You have Cloud9 with new rosters, Complexity with nothing on the roster. A lot of this is almost like the major preview. You know, for a lot of these teams, this you're going to see. You know, you won't see
this
them.
This is a warm up, right?
Yeah. You have, I think, FaZe is going to be at E-League, but I think that's the only team there. So, I mean, you might see some other teams and tournaments prior to the major, but this is really the major warm-up for a lot of these guys. I don't know how you guys want to go through it. I mean, well, let me knock out the bottom because there's no point in really talking about them. Luminosity Gaming and Complexity got 7th and 8th. FaZe and Cloud9 got 5th and 6th. FaZe is not the way you want to go. This was the first event with Yanko being their head coach.
I do want to talk about Complexity just for a second, right? Like, because I felt like that was a really disappointing performance, although I didn't know what to expect either, right? But I expected more than this. I don't even know if I should say expected. I really hoped for more than this. Mm-hmm. I wanted them to do well. Obviously, it was a tough first match, right? Like, to go in and play Astralis right out of the gate.
It's tough to judge a new roster when you got to play Astralis first, and then you have one more shot to not get eliminated. Like, that sucks.
They did look a lot better in their second shot, right? They lost 16-14 to Fnatic. A much better game, like, significantly closer. But, yeah, I mean, I really wanted to at least see them have a chance to advance, but that first game left such a bad taste in your mouth. Really hope
on Dust 2, I don't know. Do you know whose map pick that was for that first one?
I don't. I don't think it's a map pick on the BO1. They would eliminate a couple, and then it would be randomized.
And then just do whatever, how that worked. Because, I mean, really, realistically, with a new roster, Dust 2 would be my map choice just because everyone plays it, right? Like, guys, we've been playing this map for like 20 something years now. Okay, we should probably all be comfortable with it. But yeah, they got stomped by Astralis, which just sucks that it's your first. But what can you do?
Luminosity didn't have high expectations, so not a whole lot there. And then yeah, you mentioned FaZe. You know, FaZe, this was their first opportunity to get a play with, you know, Adren, and then Yanko is their coach. I didn't know necessarily exactly what we were going to get from them going into it. I didn't think when they got Adren, it was like, good, they turned the corner, you know, like, here we go. In my mind, Adren was, they got another veteran player, somebody who should be able to fill the void of Kerrigan, but are they gaining enough from Adren's pickup versus what they were losing when it came to Kerrigan's knowledge or you know, IGL abilities in game? So, for them, losing to Ghost was a big one. I don't think you can really, you know, there's no excuse as a team like Astralis. You know, they go into these matches against weaker opponents and they put them down quick. And I expect the same from FaZe, and we didn't see that.
I was actually reading an article here. I guess I missed this news prior. Did you see who was filling in as coach with Cloud9? You want me to? Do you want me to let you borrow my Cloud9 jersey? Your boy
is it Rambo.
Rambo.
Yeah, Rambo was that. Yeah.
Is he really?
Yeah, they flew him out. They flew him out there to try him out, for Cloud9's tournament at iBuyPower. I thought Cloud9 played okay. Again, one of their matches were up against Astralis, their second, when they lost 16-9. And when you're not a top five team, when you're not a Liquid or Na'Vi, I just don't really want to use Astralis as a measuring stick of how your team is performing. Is that a fair rule when you're trying to assess a team that is trying to get their roster together? You know, they might be top 10, but they might not even be a top 10 team at this point. I don't want to judge them against the number one team in the world.
But it's also tough to assess a team that, you know, one or two of those guys is not going to even be there. Like, that's for sure, right? Like, I mean, it's tough to assess a team that doesn't have, like, their fifth set in stone. Because I read something Twitter today about Refresh, like, turning the team down as a permanent. Did I read that wrong?
Cloud9?
For Cloud9, yeah.
Oh, I thought, like,
they're actually having people turn them down.
I thought it was pretty much done that Refresh wasn't going back.
Yeah.
Cloud9's, again, we've said it so many times on this show, it just feels like they're in a really awkward roster spot right now. Yeah. It feels like we're constantly going to see a little bit of turnover. I don't think the half NA, half EU rosters work out really well unless it's when I see international rosters, I see it work for European rosters because when they're moving regions, they're still close enough to home, right? Mm-hmm. These NAEU rosters still feel really awkward to me because I don't think you want to, you know, I personally at least don't see it as flushing. These guys all want to reload here and play for a team if it's not a top two or three team in the world. And you're right. Not going to get that with this roster.
Yeah, it's tough for younger dudes just move thousands, you know, hundreds and hundreds of miles away from their comfort zone and just buy into living here and staying here. And Counter-Strike is a year-round esport. So it's like, it takes a lot to kind of like lock into a team.
They're just going home for a day or two, right? You can't just go home and take the weekend at home. So,
and even looking at just how the fact that it won't work out because of EU NA on rosters where it even does work out, looking at 2015 Team Liquid with Simple on the roster, that did work out, right? They made it to the semifinals in Columbus, right? Yep. They had a lot of success with a mixture with a European player in that roster, and it still wasn't enough for him to be like, you know what? I'm comfortable being here. We're winning.
Yeah.
I like my teammates. Him and Hiko were like best of friends at the time. You know, there was no team rift going on, and he was just like, guys, I want to go home. Like, this just isn't my home. Yeah. I don't want to be here.
The best this lineup can hope for is staying top 10. You know, if we can stay in the top 10, we're probably as good as we're going to be. They're not going to compete for a top 5 spot. They're definitely not going to compete for the top NA team. I think as a organization such as Cloud9, you know, I think they'll recognize it and make changes, but there's nothing obvious that they can do right now. And this will come into play in our second segment actually quite a bit, but there's nothing they can do right now to turn that switch and make it happen. I think they're fielding a competitive roster. And I think that's the goal right now, is just let's stay competitive until an opportunity comes up to make a change. And whether that be Tarek coming back over, you know, and teaming back up with Automatic and Rush, and then figuring out what to do with those last two spots. If you can bring in some young NA talent and revitalize that roster, maybe. But there's just not a whole lot of options right now. So they're going to hang tight, I think, until they'll just wait for the right opportunity. They can't just constantly make changes until something fits in. Just be competitive.
I mean, Rush came out and said that he wants an up and coming, like, that's what they're looking for.
Yeah.
That's what Rush said.
That's what they did with Stewie, right? Stewie worked out with him, and that's what I was saying months ago, that as a Cloud9 fan, that's what I would like to see, just because there's not really any old people out there that I feel would come to Cloud9 and stick around. So I think they have to go with that up-and-coming action. Looking at Fnatic, Fnatic and Ghost got third and fourth. Fnatic has kind of become a boring roster for me.
This is like a new roster a little bit for them.
Yeah.
It's not the same old, but it feels slightly, I shouldn't say slightly washed up. It is. It's a bunch of reused in the sense, right? JW and Krims, both people that were on again, off again. Well, JW's been there, but Krims in, out, in, whatever. He's back now, playing well, the best player on that team right now. Exist, I think a lot of people lost that love for Exist once he left NIP, because it kind of felt like the run was done, and here he is now on Fnatic, and it's just, well, it's like, hey, it wasn't working out there. Maybe it's just time. I guess we'll see. Twist, I like that pickup. I just think it's way too late. I felt like the Twist pickup should have happened when they had their old Fnatic roster and they had Dennis and they had just lost Olaf. This should have been the pickup to keep them relevant with that same roster. I thought that would have been good. And then Brolin, the young and upcoming player. Yeah,
I love Twist. I've loved him since he was on Godsent, and then he was on Fnatic, and then he was on Godsent. I loved him his first time on Fnatic with Disco. Like, I thought that they were really they complemented each other well. So I
agree. I thought that he should have stayed on that roster a long time ago.
If I had to pick a player that gets overlooked a lot of times when talking about impactful players, Twist would definitely be towards the top of my list, because he just gets overlooked.
He gets overlooked. NA Twist and EU Twist.
Yeah, no,
True.
This roster has a chance to perform like they are now, though, right? They could be a top five team. They have the talent to do it, especially if Crims is performing at a top five player, top 10 player in the world, which is weird to say after coming off of the roster that he was on when they were in their prime. But yeah, I mean, this team is looking really good right now, and I think they've kind of showed that at the end of last year, right? They won a lot of games and they lost to the best teams always. So they beat up on, you know, the average team, and that's probably the experience there that does it for him.
Ghost, I would like to say I saw some of their matches, but a lot of their matches were off stream. And then I missed their game against Astralis.
I was sad these were off stream because this is the team I think a lot of people were most looking forward to, right? Like, what made you want to watch them in particular?
Steel and
Freakazoid, right? Those are the two. Everyone wants to see how that's going to work. Freakazoid has crawled out from the dungeon of CS:GO, and he is back on what I would call a up and coming NA roster.
A good NA,
closer to being there,
like,
right?
Yeah. I think everybody was excited for Steel, right? Like, I think to see Steel, you know, in land or on land, with it being IBP, kind of just gave it a whole nother, you know, really got the train off and running there. But I think a lot of people were excited to see him in this moment, and he freaking stepped up, man. He looked so good. I was so happy for him. Man,
best IGL in NA.
Definitely the mental capability of being able to do it. You've seen him do it on stream, I think, for years as a casual CS watcher.
Mm-hmm.
He's, you know, it was exciting to watch them perform. And then, like Tim mentioned, Freakazoid coming off of Swole Patrol, helping them make Pro League, and then coming over to Ghost. I think it's a good pickup for them. Kusta is another player. We talk about redemption stories, right? Like, Kusta had that moment. Was it on Liquid, right? Wasn't it Liquid?
Yeah, Liquid. Yeah.
He came over there and he got put in a really tough spot, and Simple hated his guts, like hated Kusta. Yeah. And then he vanished and went absolutely nowhere, and you kind of lost sight of him. And now he's also come back and playing at a high level. Wardell just signed a 3-year contract, which it's unheard of. And this guy is truly an insane player. He reminds me of, you know, he'll be a future NA star, if not already this year. And then Neptune, the only match I saw of theirs was their Inferno match. And this dude anchored sights and made so many plays. It was absolutely insane.
Let me ask you a question, Anoush. Like, what NA teams out there could he replace an op? Like, what teams out there NA could Wardell step in and just be like, okay, I'm here?
Any NA team at this point in time, I don't think there's, you know, Cirque is one that comes to mind that it'd be difficult to be like, hey, swap these guys out. Mm-hmm. You know, definitely, you know, not worried about somebody like a JDM at this point in their career. There's not many top tier oppers in NA. I mean, even you look at Liquid, for example, Nitro, you wouldn't classify Nitro as being a top tier opper, right? He's a good opper.
Although he had a pretty decent tournament.
He did. But Nitro, I look at Nitro as an all around good player, right? I don't look at Nitro and be like, amazing opper, good at everything else.
He's not a one trick.
Yeah, exactly. But Wardell could really step onto any team and I think contribute. I think he just needs these types of experience on stage. And so,
I just know watching him in FPL, I watch a lot of Taric and, you know, I see him play and I just like, man, this guy's nutty. I would like to see him on a really, really good roster. And
I think they're on one, you know, and it's, again, unfortunate for them. Steel's not going to be able to participate in the minor qualifiers for them, which I think they're already eliminated out of, or they're going to be playing in possibly right now. But
it's unfortunate. Yeah,
it's a good, fun young team. Again, another team that you hope doesn't just get picked apart by the Vultures in NA, but we'll see what happens with them.
And then for the grand finale, for the iBuyPower Master, you had Astralis and Team Liquid, the two juggernauts of the tournament. I think this is what, when looking at the teams here, this is what you wanted. This is what you wanted for a grand finals. Number one, Astralis versus number two in the world, Team Liquid. Team Liquid has Stewie on the roster now. I mean, you could not have asked a better finals. You couldn't have asked for a better finals. And it went the full best of three, right? Everything worked out as far as a viewership standpoint. Don't let me forget about Adren. He is now the coach of Liquid. I always liked him as a player. Obviously, he wasn't the greatest, but I felt like from an IGL standpoint, look, he had to IGL Hiko. So let's give him some benefit of the doubt.
His run in Columbus, as a NA, as a fan of NACS, you should be appreciative of what he
I got his autograph
gave you
there.
In those few weeks, we provided some of the best CS you'd see from anybody in that tournament.
And it was just the mental capacity he had to have too, because he's IGLing in a big tournament, but also he's IGLing in a tournament where he doesn't even know his future after that tournament, right? So it's like, man.
Well, he had been benched and brought back, right?
Yeah, he had been benched.
He'd already been benched. He'd been brought back. Expectations were nothing for him. And so, cool to see him getting a chance to be back with a good team and in a coaching role. But I think his knowledge of the game is, it's not going to hurt for
him. I think that's where he can really use his talents is as a coach.
Yeah. And his style is just so much. I mean, it's night and day to Zeus, because he's kind of like the silent leader, kind of like the methodic,
I think smart IGL well with that personality of players, right?
And it's just maybe it's just the NA group, because the rah-rah, let's go and just ultra hype doesn't really work on, maybe I shouldn't generalize just
tier,
NA rosters,
tier two
but,
NA,
but this roster, if you look at it, I mean, Naf, he's super chill, just no emotion on his face. And Nitro's the same way. Elige is even worse when it comes to not showing emotion. So it's this guy, Adren, I think he just kind of meshes better than maybe what Zeus. I like Zeus, but I think he'll mesh.
I think it's good for both of them. Zeus going back to Brazilian and this happening here. But I think this was the first meeting, obviously, of 2019 for these two teams. They met in, I think, five or so finals last year. Over under, do you think we see them meet in more finals this year than in 2018?
Oh, well, I mean, I guess I kind of need a number, but
let's say over under it. We'll set it at five and a half.
Over. Yeah, I take the over.
I think
most
so
definitely.
Too.
How many finals did they see last year?
I think it was five, right around there.
Okay,
they met
so
in five.
Yeah, I think they go over five and a half for sure, because this was the same thing that I kept saying about Astralis last year, is that the other teams are so far behind.
Yeah.
And there's nothing they can really do to get better. No amount of roster shuffling is going to make FaZe any better. You have to mix up the way you play. You have to find a new strategy or do something, but there is not any player out there right now that you can add to a roster and all of a sudden make them to Astralis or Liquid level. Even Na'Vi, right? Na'Vi already has Simple. Who else do you want to get on that roster?
They have two top 10 players on their team, So,
what you gonna put Nico on Na'Vi and hope for the best? There's
see if
no
they'll
way.
Start going Russian and make it work out. No, yeah, I agree. I think these two teams will meet several times in the finals this year. I think this was a matchup everybody really was excited to see. The addition of Stewie on the Liquid, I can't tell you from an NA fan what it does to my heart to see him back in NA. I think NACS needed a little boost going into 2019. It was definitely a downer year in terms of take away the major. From the major that Cloud9 won, after that point, it's been hopes on Liquid, but it's kind of been dead hopes, right? Because we knew they couldn't beat Astralis. So it was really okay, Astralis or bust, maybe FaZe, is MIBR going to be relevant? Yeah. But there was nobody.
And this is, I guess, the hero that NA needed, they deserve. I mean, because you even saw in the finals of this match, right? Like, in the major that they won, I mean, you had Stewie just anchoring down a site and just going nutty with the op, right? Just hitting mm-hmm. shot after shot after shot. And you had it in this game, too. Like, you saw flashes of what he did in the major with this team as a secondary opper. And it was like, man, okay, all right. I'm glad he's back.
It was a... You know, it's, again, this finals also started off interesting. So the first map they played was, I believe, Train. It was a slaughter. Like, it just was bad from the beginning. And it was, in my mind at least, it was like, oh, here we go. Let me open up a game and throw this on the second monitor right. because, like, I know exactly mm-hmm. where this is going to end up, right? And so I think from there, you really, I mean, it was a complete turnaround. Liquid looked so comfortable. Moving into the next, I think the first one was what? It was Overpass, sorry. No.
The first one was Inferno, where they lost 16-4.
It was Inferno, 16-4. Then they went Dust 2 after that. Dust 2 was a comfortable map for them. They played it well.
But didn't they even start out a little rough in that one? They kind of had to fight back, am I thinking? I know they did in Overpass, but...
Oh, yeah, Overpass was the crazy one. I'd have to look. I don't know. I don't know what the starting score was, honestly, offhand on that one.
Right. Okay.
They started down 5-1 in Dust 2 and then pulled it back. 5-1 is not too bad. But yeah, pulled it back from 5-1 in that one. But really looked good. I think the interesting map here and the one that really piqued everybody's interest was map 3. This went to the finals of map 3. It was a 3-match best of 3 here. Liquid really struggled early in this match. They were down 7-0. I think at one point it was 9-2 before they started to make a few plays. They needed to take some traction on that first half and bring it back a little bit closer. They did. I think they ended at 9-6, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was 9-6. Yeah, 9-6.
You had played. Naf really was just incredible this tournament. His ability to hold down the sights, I think it was really amazing to me because him, Stewie, and Elige were all using Augs at one point. And
yeah, dude was hitting some nutty shots.
I don't know if y'all noticed that this tournament, but like the hiatus gave everybody an opportunity to really master a lot of these weapons, and we didn't see it come out at the end of last year because they just didn't have time to learn something new. Right? I mean, you hear it all the time.
Yeah, you can tell they're more comfortable too because I mean there were a couple of rounds in that third map in Overpass where. I think it was Liquid, and even like Flip Flop when Astralis went around and took all their Augs. Like there were 4 Augs and 1 op. It's like everyone had Augs, and I mean, yeah. More to your point of news,
well,
I feel
this,
like
if you
they're getting
just look
a little
at
bit more
overall in the tournament. Overall, the Aug was used 13.28% of the time, and the SG was used 5.58. So you're looking at pretty much 19% of the time, give or take.
Well,
the AUG or SG were used.
What makes that stat more interesting was the 13.28 for the AUG versus the 13.95 for the M4. And so that shows that those were virtually split at any given time, right? It's not like the AK was still really dominant. It was used
for the counter-terrorist side, for those who might
for
not
the counter-terrorist side,
be
yeah,
as
so
familiar
weapons,
with CSGO. Those are counter-terrorist weapons. The AK
so, yeah, you
still
can only buy them
for...
on that side, yeah. But those were split 50-50. The M4 and the AUG were split 50-50, and you saw it in this tournament, I felt like, more than ever. Something that was added to Liquid, I feel, this tournament more than I saw. And great first tournament. You know, generally, for the beginning of the year, you don't know what to expect, but this one really kicked off the year with a bang.
Generally, and, because for two things, too. Not only is it the first tournament, normally tournaments before majors have been historically bad because teams do not want to they're either trying new things before the tournament or they're not trying to show new things, right? It's either one or the other. They're trying or not wanting to try new things.
Yeah, and I felt like during the break and the way that at least Overpass started, you know, we've talked about this in previous episodes where, you know, maybe teams should watch Astralis and just match their gameplay, their meta, you know, what they're doing. And it felt like Liquid was trying to do that with that slow pace on Overpass. And it wasn't until the game was 7-2, they were like, all right, this isn't working. Let's frag out. Let's work fast. Let's push. Let's, you know, be aggressive. And at that point, they were playing their game because they realized that no one's going to beat Astralis at their game. Nobody. You got to catch them off guard. And I felt like they did that really well. You know, maybe that's what teams have to do.
MVP for the tournament was Naf. Well deserved for him. I mean, again, he played great throughout the whole tournament, had a 1.3 rating, really looked great in the finals. Again, just another player that continuously steps up. You saw him in the HLTV top 10 this year. Really deserving for them. Yeah. You know, I thought it was just a really good start to the year for these guys.
And it's great because how many times were we trying to, I mean, not recently, but in the recent past, we were trying to bury him, right? Like, he's the odd man out. If they're going to make a move, it's going to be Naf, right? Or, you know, if he's not one, he's 1B or two.
Mm-hmm.
But it's great to see him, you know, really stepping up and just being that constant.
Not your normal MVP.
Player.
Right? Yeah. It's not Stewie or...
question for you.
Uh-huh.
Without looking it up. For the audience too, so I'll give you a second to listen here. Who was the lowest rated player on Liquid?
Lowest rated?
Like overall lowest rated?
Mm-hmm. For the tournament.
I mean, I would assume you're asking this question, so it would be Stewie2K, but I would say Alige, just to not state the obvious.
I'll say Nitro.
Should have gone with obvious, you idiots. Stewie.
Yeah, I was going to say, the only reason you're asking that question is because it's Stewie. Yeah.
but ironic, right? I mean, and the crazy thing is his KD differential was zero. So he played a straight line tournament, but it had a 1.06 rating. So overall, I mean, nobody on their team played bad. So let's kind of clear that up. I'm not saying that is a knock on Stewie, just as something I noticed there.
Anuj is saying that the only reason he had an even KD is because he was cleaning up. That's it.
That's it. It's just eco-frags.
Just cleaning up, man. But no, I think it's the first of many that we see Astralis and Liquid. And maybe not the last time you see Liquid, you know, take the W between them. It was actually nice doing this, talking about the tournament, and not once really talking about Astralis, though. Because I really feel like last year, that's all we had to talk about. And it's like, you can't say it. I'm done with it.
Yeah, you get fatigue because, I mean, they are what they are.
Like, oh, they won again.
And like, they do it the same way.
They throw a lot of nades and shoot through smokes. Oh, they won.
But
Astralis, again, in this tournament was really good. They were incredibly dominant at times. It's, you know, this was not a knock on them at all. I think Liquid played really well to win this tournament.
The headline is not Astralis lost. It's that Liquid won.
You almost wonder if Astralis, in a sense, and again, doubt it, but you never know, if these guys maybe took their foot off the gas a little bit after they dominated that first map, thinking, oh, this is just another one. Kind of like as a viewer, right? You watch that first map and you're like, oh man, like they're going to steamroll them. This is not going to be good. And you kind of get punched in the mouth sometimes when that happens. Again, you look to think a champion like Astralis, you know, doesn't let that happen, but
it happens. It can happen to anyone, man. Especially in a, like we said, first tournament of the year, coming off a pretty good little vacation over the winter. It can happen. I do want to spend a little bit of time, not a whole lot of time, because, boy, we talked a lot about that tournament. But it's okay. It's the first of the year, right? We dusted off the cobwebs for esports.
It's back.
I did want to spend, because this was actually a listener messaged us on Twitter asking this question, saying if he were to get into esports as an org, right? This is not I just want to know which one to watch. It's as an org, as a regular person. And when I say that, you're not a billionaire trying to get into esports, right? You don't have just loads of investors coming behind you to help you.
You're not a broke college student either doing this.
Yeah, you're
normal
somewhere
human.
In between.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of have that nice paying job and everything there. What would be the game to get into esports with a brand new organization? And at first I was going to be like, well, this is probably an easy answer, right? Go Counter-Strike. Everyone loves Counter-Strike. It's the most popular FPS out there. Or go with Dota, right? Go with League. Just go with one of the big ones. And then I'm like, well, no, that's not a smart answer. Just because the game is popular does not mean if you are brand new, you should invest all that time and money into it. And then I wanted to bring it on the show to ask you, gentlemen, if you were, and I think we're all pretty much that standard. I don't know about Anuj. I think he's like Donald Trump upper class, but me and Brett are just your
the
normal
people. The 1%ers we like to be called.
The 1%. Me and Brett are just normal people. What esport would you get into? And why, obviously? Not both of you at the same time.
Go ahead, Brett. Yeah, I'll go up to you. Go ahead.
Okay. So, I mean, me, I'm not trying to be like, because I love the game, it'd be Rocket League. For a couple of reasons. One, I would feel like it's not going to be too expensive to get into roster-wise. For obvious reasons, there's only three on a roster. That's one. But two, it's not like an esport that's been around for a long time. And, you know, there's just old heads and there's kind of like an established salary there. So I feel like you can get away with maybe not paying as much for rosters.
The expectations so that's where I'm kind of going.
Exactly. And my second reason why I think it would be the way to go is there's a clear path to RLCS. You do well in ESL leagues. You know, you get through the tourneys, you get to the regionals. I forget what the name of the it's like RL like something series, but it's kind of the precursor to RLCS. You get there, you do well, you can now play in RLCS. So there's a ladder, right? You know what you have to do. It's not like you have to money whip like an Overwatch League where it's like, all right, here's your $30 million. You can play in the league.
There are
right?
some games that you can instantly count out. Overwatch? Yeah. No, not going to do it, right? You don't have $60 million or whatever the buy-in for their next expansion, whenever that may be. I don't think they're going to do it next year. I think they're going to try to settle at 20 for a while. You don't have $60 million to invest in a team. You're not going to invest in a contender league team because A, Blizzard kind of doesn't care about it. And B, they've already said that the only way you're getting money out of that is winning it. So Overwatch, it's out. I love the game. It is my daily game that I play every day. I would not ever recommend anyone getting into it from a professional standpoint with an organization. Counter-Strike, I'm going to say automatically out at this point. Unless you are just content. Right, like you have to have realistic expectations. We've even talked to Mike Ruffell, the owner of Team Envy, who originally backed out of Counter-Strike and mainly said, it's tough to make money. It is tough to turn profit in Counter-Strike.
And this is a multi-million dollar organization who's getting $20+ million investments.
Believe me,
you know.
Look on Mike's Twitter. I've seen his fireplace, all right? That is a 1%er fireplace right there.
Yeah, the 1%er.
That 1% has that type of fireplace. And he's even saying it's tough to make profit on Counter-Strike.
Yeah.
So unless you're just okay really grinding it out, I mean really grinding it out, but then you also have to be okay never being a top org. And the reason I say that is because unless you just have the money to straight up buy out a top org to just instantly take their spot, right? Look at MIBR, right? You are not going to just make your team a top spot. Look at Swole Patrol, right? They did the grind. They did everything that org did everything it was supposed to do. And it got picked apart by the time it even made it to the qualifiers.
Yep.
So Counter-Strike is an out.
I have two different answers for this because we're doing it as if we were giving advice to somebody, right?
Right.
Like, what would we do? So I would have two different scenarios for them. Scenario one is you have a very talented individual who's willing to play on your team, whether that's because you're giving them ownership in the team or whatever, and then you follow them down the path, you know, hoping to ride their coattail to success, right? So you are a 1%er in a video game and you have this guy on your roster great. That would be the ideal way in, but I don't think that's realistic, right? Not many people are going to find that type of person.
You're
going
to have to money whip that guy to even want to play for your
You're hoping it's a friend at this point, right? That wants to do this and grow this with you, and that's his aspirations. I think the more realistic option,
best case scenario, they have some type of Twitch or social following.
Yeah, they're already going. I think your more realistic option, honestly, with the way esports is right now, it is hard to try and start a new organization because a million people are trying to do this right now, especially with games like Fortnite that have a user base as big as it does. My 14-year-old cousin just joined a clan and he had to try out for it with his buddies, and he made it and called me and told me how excited he was about this. You know, there's like a million people.
Like, he just feels like he made it.
But you're competing with everybody.
You want to know what's funny? Is so back in high school when we had a clan, it's funny too because it kind of just showed all of our age in gaming, because we still call them clans because that's what they were back in the day.
Yep.
It was not an org. It was your clan.
Still is.
Oh, so cringy, but it is a clan. We had tryouts for my Counter-Strike clan back in the day, and looking back, and my Call of Duty clan, looking back, we're like, we had no business trying people out. We were not that good. And I'm sure it's the same way with your cousin's clan, but good for
you. Oh, yeah, for sure.
That clan is probably just some two dudes sitting in an apartment.
It's his buddies from school. They made him try out. They know him in real life.
Okay.
That's the best part.
There you go. Exactly.
Yeah, they wouldn't
even
let him in.
Exactly.
No, so I think the best way to do it nowadays, my advice would be, is find a new hot game and try and get in that way, almost rather than going to an established game. I really actually liked Brett's answer for RLCS or Rocket League, and this is more to just to be different from that, because I think that is a great game to start off in. Barriers to entry is low. You don't need a high-end computer. You could do it on console, I guess, if you truly wanted to. However you wanted to, you don't need, the barriers to entry are low. Mm-hmm. I think if
and
you can
a small
get into
roster, I think that's a lot. That's huge.
Yeah,
it's not five, ten man rosters,
right? But I think your best bet is trying to find a way into a newer game that has a growing esports scene if you want to make a name for yourself. Mm-hmm. I think it's really difficult otherwise. I just don't see it. Like you said, with Counter-Strike, it's just not going to happen. Same thing with Overwatch. It's not going to happen for new organizations.
To branch off of your point too, though, because that reminded me of another thing, is finding a game that you know the devs care about it, right?
Yeah.
And this is not just as easy of, oh, this is a huge developer, right? This is Valve backing this game. There's no way. What's their card game?
Artifact.
There's no way Artifact is going to fold anytime soon because Valve's backing it. go ask Heroes of the Storm teams how they feel about that opinion now, right? We never thought Heroes of the Storm was going to go away because Blizzard backed it, even though it wasn't that much of a success in esports terms. And then Blizzard canned it. Rocket League, you know the devs are behind it. Even a game, now this is difficult because it's all a pro league. That's the other thing, right? Pro leagues are difficult. But like Paladins. Paladins is a smaller community. But the devs are way into it. So that is a huge, huge factor for me, is that if you're going to a new game, you got to make sure the devs are into it and you're not just throwing your money away to say that you were the first one there, because your expectations have to be that you are a small team, and at any given moment you could be the hot thing in that game.
Yeah.
But FaZe or Cloud9 or Ninjas or any organization could call up your guys and be like, so how much is it going to take you to leave that org? And I promise you, if Cloud9 or if one of these guys are calling, it's not going to be much.
You know, one game that might be interesting for people to keep an eye out on as a new org is something where there's already talent kind of established that may be a little older, and this sounds funny even saying it, is Halo coming out. There are probably some people that were ex-Halo pros that have moved on to just casual gamers that you could look at. You know, with Halo upcoming, you could see people getting into Halo 3 again, and some of these people that are not on orgs but are playing in these tournaments that are coming up. That could also be
depending
an option.
On your budget, you could pick up those older players for sure.
Yeah,
you know, mean, console in general, like Gears of War might not be a bad one. I mean, look at how Optic started. Optic started out, I mean, they originally started out as a YouTube content creating channel for snipe videos, but then they went into Call of Duty, and that was on console, right? It doesn't have to be PC.
Console's not a bad way to go, just because, again, barriers to entry are low. You're looking at buying anywhere between 3 to 5 PlayStations. It's not going to cost you an arm and a leg to do. But again, if you're looking at starting an org, I think we're talking more to people that can afford to pay some sort of salary. If the assumption is you're not paying a salary and you want to start an org, good luck. You better have option A under your belt where one of your friends is the best player in the game. But it's not going to happen
that
way.
It's tough. And it's really, it's the grassroots of esports, I feel like, is slowly going away. You know, this whole...
It's not grassroots anymore. It's a $1 billion industry.
Yeah, this whole, hey, man, let's just do a tournament and at a convention center or not even a convention center, you know, like a ballroom at a hotel or something like that. The expectations for esports are so high right now and the money is so ridiculous. Man, I don't know. I don't know if you could convince me to just be like, hey, we're all putting in money. You want to start this org? Because I just don't see a return on investment.
There isn't one early on. And that's what makes it hard, because it's not grassroots anymore. So you're not just going to have that ability to grow like a Jason Lake did.
Your window of success is so small.
Yeah.
You have to just blow it out of the water with your team to even be noticed, and then to try to retain that team after you are noticed.
Yeah.
Is very, very difficult. You could always opt for the fighting game community, because that's literally one person, right? That's obviously your cheapest way. But again, not that many eyeballs watch the FGC apart from the big tournaments.
Yeah, your return on profit is going to be a lot more limited
unless you
get.
Yeah, I mean, you got to go for like a Mango character, right? Where like just people love the guy so much that, because that's really, if you're going for fighting game community, get someone in like the top 10, top 15, maybe top 20, and then make sure they have a personality. And I would almost say,
and again, top 20, think about how hard that is to get somebody from the top 20 on your roster.
And I would almost say that's with any game, right? Make sure your players have personalities in today's world, because they got to stream. Yeah. They got to be active on social. You know, you don't want the face of your brand new organization being Skadoodle.
Legion Skadoodle is your first two pickups.
It just won't work out. But that being said, I'm sure it's possible. You just have to be, your expectations have to be right. It's tough. It's tough.
You got to be real. Yeah.
It's tough. That's all I got. Hopefully hopefully if you are getting into esports though, it all works out, because...
And that it's not a podcast.
Yeah, don't do a podcast. If you're getting into esports, don't do a podcast. Because I can tell you what, there's no money, and I guess that's really it. No money. Also, I mean, look at us. You can't beat us. Let's get into some e-news, though. Sponsored by Spaceman Company. They are a clothing company. You can find them on Twitter at Spaceman Company. They make some pretty cool shirts. They're new, I won't lie, if you go to their Twitter, if you go to their website or anything like that. But we know the guys. They're very nice. They're very talkative. If you call them up or shoot them a thingy, I'm sure they could probably design something for you. Nonetheless, go check them out at Spaceman Company. We have a couple of their shirts, and they're pretty nice. Look at here at eNews CSGO. We discussed it last week. All the miners are starting. NA Miner and Oceanic. I don't know what they're calling it over there. The Asian Miner. With all the Oceanic teams. Those start up tomorrow. But for CIS and EU, that wrapped up. CIS, you had Avangar, who I said were going to make it out. and Team Spirit. Those were the two teams that instantly qualified, with Windstrike being in third place. They still have a chance to do the play-in. Big one getting eliminated from there were Gambit.
Which we even discussed.
I think we actually had all three teams being right.
Yeah.
I think I said Windstrike was going to make it through, but for the most part, we did say Gambit. We would not be surprised if Gambit was eliminated. They've fallen on some hard times. For EU, this was rough. You had first with Ents.
Easy for Ents.
You had Team Vitality getting second. That was my pick. I said they were going to make it out. And North getting third for a second chance in the play-in. Teams eliminated. Optic, I think we said that, you know, maybe they have a chance of getting third, but they were in a tough group. And Mouse.
Mouse is a big one. Mouse being the number three ranked team in the world, number three or four ranked team in the world right now. You know, in a BO1, this can happen, and this is kind of the flaw of this system right now, that you kind of wish rankings would come into play where, hey, if you're a top 10 ranked team, you're kind of in these types of tournaments. But the EU minor is brutal, and we say it every single time it comes around, and that hasn't changed. The EU minor really is brutal.
And what kind of sucks,
they should have won, but...
What kind of sucks is the team that kind of screwed everything up, Valiance, also didn't make it, right?
Yeah.
So the team that kind of rained on everyone's parade still didn't even qualify. So it's like, here's Mouse Sports and Optic looking at them being like, really, guys? Really? Like, you are going to ruin this whole qualifier for everyone and you're not going to qualify? I say ruin it. I mean, if you're Mouse Sports or Optic, you ruined it. For viewers, I loved it, right? I love seeing that underdog team.
I think a lot of people were happy to see Vitality get through. It's always nice to see a French team in the mix. And again, we said it last episode, we'll say it again. Watch Zywoo. The guy is incredible. He did it again in this tournament, carried several maps for them.
Yep. The sole reason I picked them.
Yeah, and the addition of Alex from LDLC was also big for them. They both played well, and good to see
you
them.
You had the Call of Duty World qualifiers over the weekend as well. Some big things happened there. FaZe ended up failing to qualify for the Pro League. Don't think that's the first time that's happened, but don't fact check me on that.
There was a huge upset that qualified. How do you pronounce it? Do you have it in front of you?
I don't. The only other note I had was Team Space ended up qualifying, which their story is kind of wonky and back and forth. So Team Space was former Straight Rippin at Vegas, at CWL Vegas, just like, what, a couple months ago? Then they already said, announced it ahead of time, like, yeah, this is kind of just be a one-and-done thing for us with Straight Rippin. We're probably going to sign a team once we qualify for the Pro League, which is pretty cocky to be like, yeah, we're signed with Straight
Rippin. 7 days to go.
Yeah, we're signed with Straight Rippin. We are on an org, but we're going to back out and we're going to sign again with another org when we qualify for the Pro League. Like, it's just so easy. And it was cool to see them qualify. So they ended up going through as well.
It was Team Heretics. Team Heretics was the one that qualified that I don't think anybody thought they were going to do it. And they had multiple upsets to do it. But yeah, a couple of weird, unusual
KFC's team.
Names. Is that who it is?
Yeah. Heretics is KFC's team.
Good
they're
for them.
They're Heretics KFC. That's the actual team name. They are like Kentucky Fried Chicken. For those who think I might be using an esports acronym, I'm not. It's actually KFC sponsors them. It is the restaurant.
Esports. Oh my god.
So
it's a match made in heaven.
Picked pretty good time to sponsor them. So that's awesome though. Place. And they're from Spain, which is always cool to see a team from a non-traditional esports country make it. So very cool on them.
I'm sure they love French.
In other news, man, I haven't been to KFC in for a while.
Weeks. You're better for it.
Days.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's
not pretend like I'm some health nut. I mean, I replaced my greasy fried food from other establishments, but KFC, if you want to sponsor us, I will eat you all day. In other esports news.
Can we mark that?
I think
go back and use that as a drop
clip.
In
clip that.
Other news, Texas Esports, the majority owner and holding company of Infinite Esports, is rumored to be selling their share of the organization for $150 million, according to reports.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to kind of follow and see what happens, kind of the repercussions, because there's two different entities involved. You got the
you have
Overwatch Optic side, and then the not Overwatch side. I'm just interested to see how that sell goes.
$150 million, though.
That's how much Jerry Jones paid for the Cowboys when he bought him. Think about that. That's crazy.
Look at that. Oh, so you're saying we should start a GoFundMe and buy your team.
Optic could be a $5 million or
Here's really the answer to our last segment. If you're getting into esports, that's what you need. Right
just
there.
Just buy Optic. Million.
There yeah, you just go. Buy Optic and you have everything you need there. This is all coming down also from a couple months ago when Infinite Esports were laying off a lot of people. They were kind of saying that not so much financial issues, but they're correcting things, right? We kind of hired on too many people, now we're correcting, which we predicted back then. It's not the last you're going to see it with them, but especially in esports, right? A lot of overhiring in esports, a lot of money getting thrown around. And when you actually get real accountants looking at the book, they're probably going to be like, what? You're paying this streamer how much to put your logo on their stream? Tied to that, though, We Are Nations also acquired apparel brand Sector 6, which was recently bought by Infinite Esports. So they are not only just selling Optic, but they're selling a lot of things.
It's a fire sale.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Everything must go.
They're trying to find ways to, I guess, make up for all that overpayment still to this day. Laying off wasn't all that was needed.
Maybe that new stadium they're building is a little bit more than they thought. I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't heard
totally
much on that.
I'm totally making that up.
What happened to that? Weren't they partnered with Arlington?
I'm just making something up.
I was because I remember there was rumors that they were going to do their own stadium, and then it was rumored, or then I heard that it was really just the Arlington Stadium that they.
I think they got the city to
pay
for it, a lot of it, anyways.
Arlington,
I would think,
got the city.
Arlington
to pay
will
for
foot
something?
The bill for anything.
What? What happened there?
Yeah, they're smart. They'll foot the bill. They see the long game.
Yeah. So. That's it for e-news. Thanks again to Spaceman Company. Check them out at Spaceman Company on Twitter. Give them a follow. Tell them TCR sent you. I don't think that gets you anything, but it's always nice to be name dropped. Wouldn't kill you. Speaking of name dropping, be sure you let us know on Twitter. How you doing? First and foremost. Because I care about you, the listener. I just want to know how you... As a person, how was your day? And then turn around and tell us, how was the show? Did you love it? Did you hate it? Either way, I love you. That is at The Center Ring. Our website is tcr.gg. You can find our Discord there, be part of the conversation. Our YouTube, out of date, soon to be in date. Updates to come. But that does it for episode 139 of The Center Ring. We will be back next week, and then I believe in 2 weeks is going to be our big Overwatch League Season 2 preview. I believe that's in 2 weeks. I'll have to check our calendar, but I don't think we really have that much time anyways to delay it any further.
Nope.
So we are all looking forward to that. We have the NA Miners to discuss next week, some more Counter-Strike and more esports. But until then, for Anuj, for Brett, I'm Tim. We'll see ya.